Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 30th of September, 2022, and is entitled Autumn Golang Diary. I've posted here about my experiences with Go since 2013, that's a link, and I guess it's too late to stop now. This one is truly miscellaneous, just a bunch of things that's built up in should write about this notes to myself while working on Quamina. That's a link to my Quamina open source project. Switch, switch, switch. Back in 2013, I wrote about how nice the Go switch statement is. The Quamina work has really brought this home by way of constructs like this. Well, editorial note, this particular entry contains a lot of code. I'll try and explain it a bit, but if you actually care about this stuff, you probably want to go to the print version and read it. So this is a switch statement where I'm combining two steps called step existing and step new, and basically there's four cases either. They're both nil, one of them is nil and the other isn't, other way around, or they're not both non-nil, in which case there are four separate things to be done, and this is nicely handled by a switch statement. I mean, sure, I could compose equivalent if-then-elses, but I could do it in half a dozen different ways, with varying readability, while resisting the temptation to optimize prematurely. I'm drifting into the lane of looking at every if and wondering if it could be a switch. Dot, dot, dot. I can't imagine that this delightful little thing is unique to Go, but somehow I've never worked with it before. And this is the trick in Go, where if you want to treat an array as a bunch of separate arguments, you just put it in the argument list surrounded by dot, dot, dot. So by doing this, you can append the content of an array to another array. Similarly, when you want to declare a variable length of list of arguments, you just say args, dot, dot, dot. And, you want to add, when you want to pass the contents of an array to a function as a list of arguments, you just put a dot, dot, dot after it. And if you want to declare, as I said, a variable array, you just say, for example, I've got a function here, x, that supports some numbers, which are given as dot, dot, dot int, which means as many ints as you want, arguments. But they're also a slice, so you can query the length by saying length of numbers. Cool stuff. Volatility. Go is good at concurrency, and the best way to write concurrent code is with channels. Watch out for buffering, but sometimes you need old-fashioned access control. And speaking as a one-time Java head, I pretty quickly found myself wondering, what's the equivalent of volatile? It's a thing called atomic.value. And so I have a structure here called field matcher, which has a field called updatable, which is an atomic.value, and a comment saying it always holds an FM fields pointer. And so FM fields is actually all the fields of this thing. You know, let's not care about what they are. And then I've got a function called fields to get the fields. And it says, okay, get the matcher dot updatable dot load and apply the star FM fields type to it. And similarly, it's a field, a function called update, which you pass a set of fields and it says m.updatable.store and the fields. This works well. Really well for a read mostly variable. In this case, one thread can be updating the field matcher while lots of others are reading it. So if you build a new set of fields, then blast it in with that update function, which is atomic. The runtime will get around to garbage collecting the copy you replaced when the other threads finish up with it. I've discovered that if you have relatively little contention, the cost of the atomic operation is close to zero. If you have a lot, it's not, but the penalty seems to increase smoothly, which is a tribute to the runtime. It'd be kind of nice if you could make the atomic.value strongly typed, like, you know, a generic. Generics, fah. I wrote a whole blog piece, that's a link, about Go generics back in May, in which I grumbled quite a bit about them, but came to peace with using them. I'm back to grumbling. Maybe it's me, not them, but I'm not that stupid and not that fussy, and I keep getting nasty surprises when I try to do something reasonable-looking with a genericized type. There's a performance bug fix coming into Quamina, which, as a side effect, will remove the last remaining generic type. That's not the reason I'm doing it, but it makes me happy. Slice, slice, slice. Now, for what I think is my biggest Go eye-opener, all these years in, you can do nearly anything with slices. Coming from Java, with its huge repertoire of list and stack and queue types, I frequently wondered, where's the standard type for, you know, one of those Java things? In almost every case, the answer is, well, you can do that with a slice. So here are a stack and a slice. A stack and a queue for unsigned integers. And I'm not going to read this code, but it's pretty obvious. You have a slice and treat it as a queue. You push by appending on the end, and you pop by, you know, getting the length, saving the last element to return, shrinking the slice, and then returning the last element. For a queue, you insert by adding at the front. You insert by adding at the end, and you read by popping off the front element and redefining the queue to start at its first index. Second index, I should say. Those pop and read implementations seem to take more lines of code than they ought to. While it's too late to add queue and stack-oriented built-ins, it might be nice to add some of those calls to Go's slices package. Slice performance. Given that you can do everything with slices, more or less, one hopes that the implementation has been fanatically optimized. I hope that anyhow, because when I was grinding away optimizing Quamina, that's a link, I thought I was nearing victory when the profiler reported that the code was spending a high proportion of its time updating them on the grounds that I was unlikely to write code that was better optimized than the built-in append. However, there are a couple of things to keep an eye on that are probably pretty obvious but still worth mentioning. One, it's easy and idiomatic to say, var foo slice of bar, and then add things to it with append. Turns out that if you know how long foo is apt to get, you can get a remarkable performance improvement by saying foo is make, is use the make function to make a slice with a guess at what its maximum size is going to be. Two, if you look at those queue and stack implementations and assume they're going to be heavily used, it's pretty likely that the stack is going to be way more efficient, because as it gets longer and shorter, you'll be reusing the same memory, and the runtime will probably have to reallocate it less and less. My profiling supports this guess. I had a structure where I stashed units of work and then retrieved them, and while it didn't need stack semantics, it ran way faster with that kind of implementation. Slice gripes. Nothing is perfect. Here's a problem I have in Quamina. The process of merging automata requires code like you see in the first example above. It turns out that merging steps can easily generate duplicates, so to keep things sane, you'll need to deduplicate your steps. Glance back at that code sample, and you'll see that the merge1DFAStep function has a memoize argument. Here's the start of merge1DFAStep. So the function takes two arguments, which are the steps you're merging, and another one called memoize, which is a map of a thing called a DFA step key, and the other is a DFA step. And so the function starts by declaring a variable called combined, which is going to be the return, and it makes a key, which is a thing called a DFA step key, with fields step one and step two, which are the things you're calling with, and it starts by saying combined, comma, OK equals memoize key M key. And if it's okay, then you hit your cache and you just return it. This is a straightforward memoization. If you call the function and it's already been called with those arguments, don't recompute a new value, just return what you did before. And if you do have to compute a new value, save it and memoize before you return. This was a lot harder than I'd hoped, because I wanted to index on the content of the arguments. The code above doesn't actually do that, because if your type is a struct with a slice field, you can't use it as a map key. Sigh, I've figured out workarounds, but I still have problems, and I know that in some cases, I'm not deduplicating fully. What I think I want is a new kind of thing in Go, an immutable slice. It's not as though this is an exotic idea, since Go's built-in string type is just an immutable byte slice. This is why you can index a map with a string, but not a byte slice. If there were a way to make an arbitrary foo slice immutable, then I could index with that, and it would make my deduplication problem much easier. I wonder if I'm the only person with this gripe. Anyhow, Go mostly doesn't get in my way. The code runs acceptably fast. The readability is superior, in my opinion, to any other programming language I've used. My thanks to the team. And that's all, folks.